This is The Sun on the Strip. Welcome back, and thanks for listening. I'm Brock Radke, editor-at-large and entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news from the Vegas Strip. It's the last week of November, seemingly slow time in Las Vegas, but there's always a lot going on. Joining me today is Las Vegas Weekly Associate Editor Mike Privat to discuss a few different things, some big names in music coming to Vegas or coming back to Vegas. Mike, thanks.
Hello. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Before we get into that, we've got something of a new show alert on the Strip at the Stratosphere of all places. It's called Celestia, which is a pretty amazing name for anything. Celestia, an all-new international production from live entertainment company Intrigue Shows, will make its debut on the Strip at the Stratosphere in January. I am just reading from the Celestia website here. A tour de force of acrobatics, artistry, and illusion. Celestia will perform 8 shows a week in a 200,000 square foot state-of-the-art tent that will be located at Main Street and Philadelphia Avenue. That's just behind the Stratosphere, just north of the Stratosphere building. This show and the company Intrigue Shows is from a person named Sasha Ivanov, who was the music director for a Cirque du Soleil production called Kuza, which was a touring show, never a Las Vegas fixture. But he has put together this show of acrobatics and music and dance, and it's going to be in a tent behind the Stratosphere, which is kind of crazy.
Kind of reminds me of when the Rio had De La Guarda in the parking lot in a tent.
Yeah, that was a while ago, too.
Was about that 20 years ago.
Yeah. I think there used to be more Cirque-ish shows on the Strip besides the Cirque shows, kind of variety shows that did incorporate music and acrobatics and stuff like that in a similar manner.
Well, didn't the first Cirque show Cirque show in a tent in the Mirage?
I think so, yes. Yeah, before Mystère opened 25 years ago, there was a temporary show. I don't remember the name of it, but it certainly seems like a big deal for the Stratosphere entertainment-wise. Stratosphere, of course, is now owned by Golden Gaming, which owns all the PT pubs and taverns around the valley, and they have been renovating and creating new venues there in recent months. Show-wise, Stratosphere only has the Michael Jackson tribute concert show called MJ Live right now. I think they have a stand-up comedy venue as well. But this would be a big move for them. And it should be noted, I have not received any information about this show from the Stratosphere. This is just this show's website that I have discovered once I was tipped off to this tent that is being constructed. It also led me to doing this awesome thing, which is if you look at Google Maps and look at the satellite view and you scroll over the Stratosphere, it's pretty awesome because you're like zoomed in and then all of a sudden the Stratosphere Tower like hits you in the face.
Yeah.
Just a fun little Vegas Googling chore for you to do when you're bored. So we'll see if this show actually does open in January as it is planning to do. Any new show on the Strip is welcome, as far as I'm concerned. We will be reporting more on this in the future. One show that we wanted to talk about, and still will, is Justin Timberlake was planning, I guess, round 2 of his Man of the Woods tour at T-Mobile on Saturday. That show has been postponed. So has his... I guess he had a couple of other shows this week leading up to the Vegas concert. He has bruised vocal cords, apparently. and he's postponing a few concerts. If you have tickets to this show, you should hold on to those. They're going to be honored when it is rescheduled. I saw Timberlake's first Man of the Woods show here at T-Mobile in April. It was pretty good. It was a lot of fun. He has a lot of production elements to his concert. The stage kind of winds through the crowd, and he had this little kind of makeshift campfire setting so he could get some of his people around a fake fire and roast some musical marshmallows, so to speak. It was good, but it made me think that, as has been rumored for a few years now, Justin Timberlake would make a great long-term resident on the Strip.
You would think that once he gets this so-called weird show out of his system, the weirdness being that this was an unconventional album and that he plays generously from it in the show, that maybe if he was ever thinking about doing a residency, now that he got the artistic thing out of his system, he could come in and play what would be expected of him, which is a review of his most popular songs in a show. I think it just depends on whether he wants to hang out in Vegas for any period of time or whether he would want to commute from LA to do such a residency, and that he doesn't see it as a stain on his ascendancy in pop.
His previous tour a few years ago, I think the last show or one of the last shows on that tour was filmed for a Netflix concert movie.
Mm.
And that was at, I believe, MGM Grand Garden, probably before T-Mobile was open. But that show, too, had a lot to it in terms of, you know, a crazy light show and production elements and moving stages and things like this. So he's definitely well-equipped to put together a real big, splashy Vegas show. When I saw his concert, I was thinking about how, you know, Bruno Mars, for example, probably a bigger name in the pop scene right now, probably the biggest name or one of, and has been playing shows at the Park Theater over the last year and a half or whatever. And those shows don't have a lot of production to them. It's basically just his touring concert. He's singing all of his hits, and he doesn't have to put a lot of stuff into it, maybe, because it's selling that thing out most of the time anyway. I think that Timberlake would be a hit on the Strip, like you said, if it was a good fit for him.
Do we have a venue of preference where he should play it?
My preference or his preference?
We could talk about where we think would be the best place to see him.
I don't want to get myself in trouble, but of the big three resident rooms on the Strip right now, the Coliseum is still my favorite, just in terms of the overall experience. Going there, getting in, getting out, you know, getting a drink.
Mm-hmm.
These kinds of small, for somebody like me that goes to a lot of shows, that stuff makes a big difference. But it's really all about when you're in the room, and that room just has so much grandeur to it, and the sound is great. It's definitely one of those rooms where there's not a bad seat. I think that show would be great there, but who knows? I mean, obviously, a lot of attention's on the Park Theater right now since that's the newest one. Lady Gaga's going to be there next month. Britney's going to resume her Vegas stuff next year. I think that's where the spotlight is shining at the moment.
And yet, I would think that Zappos Theater is seeing all of this and thinking, well, that's a lot of big-name talent in our competitors' wheelhouses, so what's our next move? And that would be a huge move for them.
Yeah, and they've got some spaces to fill. If they want to keep this resident rotation going, they have a lot of open dates right now. In 2019, Jennifer Lopez's show is wrapped up. Lionel Richie's show is wrapped up. Pitbull was a resident there. He hasn't had any dates in quite a while. There's nothing on the schedule for him right now. Backstreet Boys is going to finish in the spring, I believe, at Zappos Theater. So there is space for somebody like a Justin Timberlake. speaking of somebody who's kind of like a Justin Timberlake, in the way that he's also was in a boy band of sorts, I think. I'm not an expert on Robbie Williams, but this is what I'm assuming. Robbie Williams is going to be performing at Encore Theater in March and June. So first he put up a series of shows March 6th to 16th. Those sold out incredibly quick. And now there are dates on sale June 19th to 29th next year. Like every release announcing one of these series of shows, it describes him as a music icon. To me, he is not a super well-known name, and is a little bit of a interesting pick to do a run of shows on the Strip.
Well, I have tons of thoughts about Robbie Williams.
Well, that's why you're here.
So, Robbie Williams is like a Kylie Minogue. We hear the name here, we think, oh, I've heard that name before. Oh, I feel like I know who that is. They've probably played some shows, you know, whatever. Robbie Williams is enormous in Europe, in Asia, Australia. He plays stadiums in these other countries. He, for some reason, whether it's his Britishness or it's the type of pop he plays, maybe it's not the kind of charismatic performer we tend to gravitate towards here in the States. He has not made a huge splash here. He did release an album in 98, 99, called The Ego Has Landed, which was a wink towards him trying to conquer the States. It didn't quite happen. He had a big song called Angels. He did have a popular song. I think it was the album afterwards called Rock DJ, which is very catchy, probably his biggest hit here, if I'm not mistaken. And as you alluded earlier, even before he broke out on his own, he was in Take That, which had a couple of sizable hits here in this country. Again, a much bigger thing elsewhere. This was before Backstreet Boys and NSYNC rose to prominence here. So while it is pretty surprising that he would play a residency here, it does not surprise me in hindsight that it's done so well for a couple of reasons. One, he doesn't tour America very often. So if you are in the States and you are a huge Robbie Williams fan, here is your shot in a city that makes it very easy for you to land, go to a hotel room, drop off your stuff, and go to a show afterwards. So that makes sense. Number two, if you are a Robbie Williams fan and you have seen him elsewhere, you've probably seen him in a very, very big room. You are seeing him in as intimate a room as you could possibly see him here at the Encore Theater. So that's a big win for no pun intended, for Robbie Williams fans. And a very curious development. It begs the question whether venues like the Encore Theater will take a chance on other bookings we wouldn't otherwise predict, given that there's people clearly outside of the city who are paying attention and snapping up these concert tickets.
Mm-hmm. I think another factor at play here, to a lesser extent, is Wynn's international audience.
Yes.
Wynn and Encore have a very consistent and strong international guest demo, and they've seen that play out in other areas of their resorts too. For example, certain DJs and certain kinds of music being played in their nightclubs that maybe other clubs couldn't pull off as well because they already have that international draw. So I think this is an interesting development, and I hope, like you said, that this might lead to some more, you know, risky, for lack of a better word, adventures in having these performers come in, people that are not obvious choices to play a series of shows on the Strip.
It also sort of underscores the idea that we've just had so many people who are doing either residencies or limited engagements that the venues are forced to kind of look a little outside of where you would imagine they would be pulling their talent from. They're like, whose fan bases are we underestimating here? Who else is prime. I remember this wasn't a residency or a limited engagement, but I remember when the Coliseum booked Leonard Cohen for two dates, and that was 2010, roughly around there. And I thought, wow, that show's going to bomb. I mean, he's clearly a big name, but like, do people want to come and see him in Vegas? Well, he sold out both nights. And I remember I went the first night, and it was a very international audience. And I didn't expect that from Caesar's Palace necessarily, because, you know, Caesar's is mostly an American name and an American entity. But man, did it draw a lot of different accents and a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. So you never, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you get a big name American star in a venue here, and you hear rumors that the show's not doing very well. You hear about all these comps flying around. And other times like this, it works out, and everyone's eyebrows raise, and it sort of suggests, well, what's next?
There is something to seeing a certain kind of artist in Las Vegas where it doesn't seem like an obvious fit on the surface. But the idea that their fan base will travel from wherever they are, mm-hmm. because, oh my gosh, this is our chance to see this person in Las Vegas of all places.
So a perfect example, or in my opinion, a very good example of that, the same room they announced Garth Brooks, and you think, what the hell is he doing in the Encore Theater? Why isn't he playing the Coliseum? Why isn't he playing an arena? What is going on here? And he blows minds with this acoustic, quasi-on-the-fly, conversational, almost like a VH1 Storytellers kind of thing. Totally charming, totally upends the idea of this Garth Brooks spectacle where he's flying around the stages and he's got that wireless mic thing. Here he is, just down to earth, you know, singer-songwriter Garth Brooks, totally out of left field and totally worked. And maybe that's a room that lends itself to these kind of surprises.
The Encore Theater is a great room. I've seen a lot of shows in there, really enjoyable shows, and I did not anticipate them to be... I didn't think I would like them as much, like Harry Connick Jr., for example. Mm-hmm. I didn't really think very much of that show at all, and he's obviously a great musician and an artist in his own right. I think maybe he's known a little bit more these days for doing stuff on TV and in movies and things like that, but that was a great show. And probably my favorite show that I've seen at Encore Theater is Diana Ross. I've seen her twice now there, and she also just announced new show dates at Encore Theater in February. There's going to be a little bit of difference to this one. So she's done three engagements at Encore Theater so far. She usually does like 3 weeks at a time. This one, which starts February 6th, and tickets are on sale November 30th, is going to be called Diamond Diana in celebration of her 75th birthday, which is coming up in March, I believe. So she has 9 shows. Yeah, she's just switching it up. The last time that I saw her, she did a few different songs, some more, I guess, jazzy stuff. And it seemed like she was stretching out a little bit and trying some new things instead of just going through the hits from Motown and from her, I guess, disco era. But she's one of those artists that I feel like, you know, in Vegas right now, we're really lucky that everybody comes through Vegas. And there are older artists that you want to see because you don't know how many more times you're going to get a chance to see them. Just true legends. She definitely falls into that category for me. So I would recommend checking her out when she's back in Vegas in February. Have you ever seen Diana Ross?
She's probably one of like maybe 5 or 10 huge names, and for whatever reason, it's never lined up, or someone else, the publication is reviewing the show. I've never made her a priority for whatever reason, which doesn't make sense because I grew up listening to a lot of oldies, a lot of Motown, and I got sick of it all very quickly, you know, being a young kid and wanted to rebel and listen to whatever else on my own. But if there was one act whose songs would come on the oldie station, and I didn't mind. It was the Supremes. I really liked the Supremes. I think that was one of the few albums I bought when I was starting to buy CDs that was sort of something that my parents could borrow. And I have several favorites by them, and I've never heard any of those songs live. And why haven't I gotten on that yet?
It's time. It's time to go.
Well, now I have another opportunity, hopefully not the last opportunity, but maybe I should take advantage of it.
While we're talking about residents or shows that could be called residencies, arguably so sometimes, fresh on the email wire, George Strait, who has been playing shows at T-Mobile Arena every few months since that place opened, has announced two more shows in 2019, August 23rd and 24th. I believe he's playing his 20th show at T-Mobile in December.
Let's talk about this, because it doesn't get talked enough about.
Are we going to talk about the word residency?
No. No, that's a whole other podcast. George Strait is the only, correct me if I'm wrong, resident or regularly occurring performer in Vegas that's playing in an arena. You think about all the Titans who play here. Mm-hmm. Lady Gaga's going to start a residency. We've got Celine, obviously, on the reg. And Bruno Mars, who, as you were saying earlier, is probably the biggest, at least certain biggest male name in pop. And here's this guy that you kind of might forget about if you're not listening to country radio all the time. And he's playing the biggest room of them all on the Strip, what, three, maybe four times a year?
Mm-hmm.
Two gigs at a clip. And obviously doing well enough to keep coming back. And no one else can do this, or no one else is brave enough to do it yet. That is astounding. And it also speaks to, besides just the sheer chutzpah of it, it speaks to the loyalty of the country music fans. And the thing that we also don't think about very much is how well those country acts can draw, even though they, you know, a lot of them are outside the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. One more quick show update. Salt and Pepper's I Love the 90s, the Vegas show, which opened recently at the Paris Theater, is taking a break in December. The last show of the year is December 3rd. The show will resume January 17th. I think the explanation was that they're tired. They've been busy. They have been busy doing a lot besides this Vegas show. But that appears to be the explanation. They're taking a little bit of a break, and so is that show. That's a pretty cool show. I would recommend it. Different acts from the 90s rotate in and out, and hopefully it will be back strong in January and keep on going. That theater definitely needs some consistency in its lineup. A lot of shows have started up and then closed there over the last year and a half or so, as I wrote about recently in Las Vegas Weekly. So put that on your calendars as well. Mike, thanks so much for your expertise.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so what is taking over the Strip this week? Well, continuing through Friday, Amazon Web Services reInvent 2018. 55,000 attendees on the Strip this week. Expected anyway for this. It's a cloud technology conference. Many more are participating in sessions, seminars, and keynotes via live stream. This thing is based at the Venetian, but the event campus includes Strip resorts all the way from MGM Grand up to Wynn and Encore. So lots of tech people hanging out on the Strip this week. Coming up this weekend, some significant shows. Andrea Bocelli, he just released his first album of original material in 14 years. It's called C, and he is back in Las Vegas to perform at the MGM Grand Garden Arena Saturday night. I did a really cool interview with him for Las Vegas Magazine, and you can read that at lasvegasmagazine.com. Paul Schaefer, David Letterman's longtime musical director, wraps up his fall run at Cleopatra's Barge at Caesar's Palace Thursday through Saturday this week. Again, I spoke with him too. Actually, he was on my other show, All the Vegas, and you can listen to that super cool interview at allthevegas.com. He has some great stories to tell. And this is his second series of shows at Cleopatra's Barge. He did it last year right around the holidays as well. And it's a lot of fun. Hopefully they'll bring Paul Schaefer back to Caesars again. Like we said, Timberlake is a no-show this weekend, but the night before, he was supposed to appear Friday night at T-Mobile Arena. You got Fleetwood Mac, and Florida Georgia Line starts its five-show run just in time for Rodeo Week at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood on Saturday. That is going to do it for this week's episode of The Sun on the Strip. Thanks so much for listening. You can get all the best coverage of the Las Vegas Strip at lasvegassun.com. See you next week.